Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word.
With a word of encouragement. I don't know who's out there that needs to be encouraged today. I'll just talk to myself. I know that in most of my broadcasts, when I believe I'm ministering to others, somehow the Lord gets the word to me. Well, that was for you, Brenda. That was for you. I know you thought for others, but that was for you, and I don't know, I just feel like that's one of these types of broadcasts, this one is for me. Well, I'm going to, and you know, I always say that the aim of this broadcast is to encourage someone today, is to uplift that person, that soul that is encompassed in darkness. And what is darkness? I mean, we talk about that a lot. Darkness is when you're in a time where you can't see God. Simply that, you can't see God. And sometimes it's encased in fear, and sometimes just sheer unbelief. Look, I know you told me that. I can't see it. I don't even have a clue about what you're talking about. I don't even know how it is that you even spoke that to me. And as I'll deal with later, with the story with Abraham, as I continue in chapter 15 of Genesis, you know, I put it as one of my last tags on the studio wall because I was just beginning, as I was meditating, again, on the scripture, that, and the word of the Lord came to me, two words, fear or scared. The word he used is scared, okay, but I put fear down. And then quell. I mean, he's been saying that word to me all week, quell. Quell. And it means to subdue, to silence something, to put an end to. But anyway, let me go to the same scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, for now. And this is, I believe, the amplified version of this verse of scripture. I always read it. Sometimes I'll read something different, but this is so expressed and augmented of what the original verse was. I always read it because I think it really tells the true story. It says, for now, in this time of imperfection. You know, we go through those times of imperfection, and it's most, we're most vulnerable to those imperfections when there's darkness and when there's extreme times of testing, and also weariness. I've been dealing with that all week, weariness. Not that you don't believe God, you just don't have the energy to see it through sometimes. You know the promise is there. You know that God has promised. Sometimes you just get weary in the flesh, and it kind of compromises the endurance that we need in order to reach the promised land. Whatever God told you, it is. You know, it may be that your child is healed. It may be your job, and you may get a promotion on your job, or whatever it is. Sometimes there is a weariness there that God has to deal with. It says, for now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle or enigma, life can be a puzzle. And I don't think there's anybody that has all of the answers except God. Except God. And that's why I read the scripture every week. We're not going to clear up issues and questions and things about God until we get closer to God. He's calling us closer, and the way he calls us closer is by reading the word, by praying, by fasting, and just adhering to what he tells us to do, whether or not we see it or not. This says a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. You see, you know, we're going through some mazes here of believing God, and we, only God can. I have a word that just left and escaped from me when I wanted to say. There was a word I want to say. But he's the only one that can clear up and answer these riddles and whatever the questions are. Whatever they are, God is going to clear them up and cause his will to be accomplished and fulfilled. It says, but then when we see reality. And I always say this every week. I want the good, the bad, and the ugly. I never want to be in a place where I cannot see the truth or see what God is trying to tell me. It is grievous, yes. It may be something you don't want to hear, yes. But God is always trying to bring us to a place where we can see clearly. Even in a very dark place that Abraham found himself in here, in Genesis 15, He wants us to see the truth. And I really, really appreciate and love that about God. If we endure, we will. If we endure with our relationship with him and do what he's told us to do, we're going to see him, he said, face to face. And I'm telling you, there is no other way to learn who God is but to go face to face. There is a total difference when there is a face-to-face encounter. I had an example I was going to use about something. Maybe a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a speech someone was giving. First time I've heard them give a speech, and I've oftentimes seen a picture. And then I went on, there was a YouTube a video, and I saw them speak for the first time. You know, I had such a different impression of that person than when they were giving their speech. I saw things that I'd not seen before. Some of it was maybe spiritual. It was spiritual, let me tell you why. And I know I'm diverting from what I'm going to talk about today. It was spiritual. Why? Because I had seen earlier that day the outline of this person's profile, you know, their profile. I'm like, what's that? when I saw the outline of their profile, it was blank. It was blank now. It was a blank outline. There were no features to the profile. But I saw the profile. I'm like, what is it about that? I just recalled. And God was at that point, I believe, reaffirming his a gift to me of prophecy or seeing and knowing, if you want to say it that way. I saw the image, and I questioned what it was for. And then later, I think that next day is when I saw the profile. I had no clue that that was a mimic of that person's profile. But when it was filled in, when they came into the video, it was filled in, and God gave me a complete story, gave me a complete perception about that person. That's odd. I mean, that doesn't happen every day. A lot of times people think that the prophetic is on all the time. It can be on sometimes, and I'm going to be really honest today. Forgive me for this. But sometimes it can really frustrate you. And frustrate me, seeing it in all the time. It can be frustrating sometimes to see supernaturally. God has to divorce us from things, and I think I'm really matured in it. It's just like something you do secondhand nature, like I did. I do as a lawyer, you know. You may be dealing with a work situation, some murder in your face, just kill two people, and with an AK, I'm going to do that, believe it or not. And you just miss all that and start talking to them like they're a person, just like everybody else. And so with the prophetic vision, it's the same thing. You take it as something God is saying, and then you follow the instructions that God gives you to whatever he wants attaches to the significance of the vision. I'm getting out of verse now. Now I know in part, just in fragments. I know only in fragments. God's word is given, but sometimes it's just a little piece of the word, of what he's trying to tell you of truth. And he will provide the rest at whatever time. But then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by God. It's a promise that he comes. Cause us to understand. Cause clarity of vision, clarity of understanding, and purpose. And I look forward to it. I mean, I think I've gone through quite a few steps in obtaining what God is saying to me. And I know others are struggling with that as well, because it is, I always say this, God is always speaking, though. He's always speaking. Well, let me get to the title of this broadcast, and it's found in Genesis 15:6. I think I stopped right about here last week. I am, you know, my particular focus has always been seeing clearly in the dark when there are really dark, depressing times. And certainly it is something that people really struggle with. I look at online all the suicides, and I can say those people are in very deep darkness at those times, and suicides take place. Anyway, and I've entitled this broadcast, "And He Believed in the Lord." Verse 6, it says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it as righteousness." You know, we can believe in God, even though we don't see how he's going to fulfill a promise. We can know that God is telling the truth and believe it. Hear it with Abram. God had already convinced him and reassured himself to a point where Abram began to believe the word of the Lord. He, however, if you go further in the verse of scripture, the chapter, he began to express doubt or fear, and this is what supernaturally spoken to me by God. He began to express fear about how it was going to happen. The word said that he believed in the Lord and counted it as righteousness. Why? Because he did not see all the ways it was going to come together and be fulfilled. There were so many little voids that had to be filled by God, like that little profile saw. I don't know, I think that was last week. And then God had to fill it in. But God has to fill in how it's going to take place. And Abraham had a fear, which God had to quell. And then he did seek about doing it. Let me go to the first verse of the chapter. It says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid." You see, he was afraid. He was afraid of something. And he was afraid of how God was going to get him through this process of patience and fulfillment and believing God. He says, "I'm your shield and your very great reward." This is a reassuring word from God to Abraham. Abram. After he's gone through this war, I mean, I don't know if anybody noticed, but I'm telling you the truth. I never noticed this part of the world where Abram had to become a warrior in order to recover his relatives and goods after his capture in this war with the king of Sodom and Chaladir. Hopefully I pronounced that right. I'm not looking right at the word right now. I know it begins with a C. But anyway, in verse 2 it says, "And Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." It sounds like Abram is in unbelief here. But God had already said in verse 5, let me go further. "And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Here. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." You see, God is clearing it up. He's thinking, okay, you are going to bless me. You are, no question. I do believe that you're going to bless me with a son. But I'm thinking the only person I'm looking at is this heir, this person that's serving in my house, Eliezer. He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be." So here is God clearing up. He's augmenting the vision, as a matter of fact, clearing it up. And he's also adding to what he told Abraham in chapter 12. "And Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness." So this is what I want to say. He believed him when he reassured him at this point. But however, we know when he first started talking to him in this Genesis 15, he was talking about him having fear. And sometimes when you go through these real severe tests, like that war he got into and had to go get Lot and his brother, I mean, you're saying, wait a minute. You started off telling me I was going to have a son. I'm going to be the father of many nations. And then all these things have taken place. I mean, are you really going to do it? There's so many things that have taken place and distractions and things that have wearied me you know, because I talk about the famine that he faced immediately, almost after that, going into Egypt. I talked about how he gave up his wife, Sarai, you know, to... I think he was on a slick move right there to give up his wife. He really was in deep, deep, deep unbelief at that point. Because he said, look, I got a wife that's older. She's not capable of having a child. I'm giving it up. I'm giving her up. And then I talked about, the Word talked about how Pharaoh returns his wife to him. Which is something else. I know God. It's hard when you're walking through it, but God, when he says something, it's really true, and he will fulfill his word. And then he goes on, and he's supposed to get rid of his family, walk out of the house, your associations with your relatives. And then there came a fight with the herdsmen, among the herdsmen, between the herdsmen of Lot and Abram. That caused some more discord. Then it caused them to be mislocated, I'm going to say. Lot pitches his tent towards Sodom, and then this war breaks out. He is taken captive, and his goods are taken, and then Abram has to put on his warrior hat. That's another thing. I like to talk about that. That warrior hat, you see, when God, it's like in Matthew 25, God sometimes gives you more than one gift, more than one anointing. And so I believe that is to carry out his purposes. I know people might say, oh, you're just trying to be a big shot or whatever. No, God has given certain people gifts so that they can fulfill God's word and carry out God's instructions. And not that you probably think you all that, no, it's more like, look, I'm telling you that the more gifts you have, the more testing that is involved with it. Why? So you will not be puffed up. And God will cause men not to look at you or look at me. He will cause men to look at him in the process. And so, I mean, hey, the more you have, it's too much is given, much is required. And it's so true. It's so true. All right, going back into this verse. I'm going to get out of here before the broadcast ends. And he said to him, and Abraham believed the Lord. Okay, so based on this new promise and this augmentation, he says, so shall your offspring be. And he said, now he counted to him for righteousness. Why? Because he's still a little shady there, still a little shaky, rather, but he believes God. And who would know it but God? Because he's looking at his heart. He's looking at his heart. And that's how he knew that he believed in the Lord, and he credited him to for righteousness. For righteousness' sake. It's like he's telling God, look, God is telling him, I'm going to give you credit for believing me right now when you haven't put all the pieces together, when all the pieces haven't manifested that I have told you. So God gave him some credit there. And he also said to him, this is verse 7, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. God is giving him land as well. And I'm going to read this whole thing before this broadcast ends. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged a half opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, this is what I'm talking about. When God gives you a promise and it just starts. I mean, you're being obedient. And I'm still talking about the cycle of patience. In fact, my scripture of James 1 and 4 today. But God can give you a promise and then things turn very dark. Very, very dark, and a fear will come upon us. And at this level now that several events have happened and taken place with Abram, several negative events, at this point, God is still grooming Abram to receive the fulfillment of the promise he told us, the son. He's giving him knowledge. He's giving him an expanded explanation of the vision. how I'm going to do it, where I'm going to do it, and so forth. Because what? Every faith is being grown up here. This belief is being increased and increasing, transforming into strong belief, which is the expectancy phase I talked about. And then we get this extreme darkness. Now, this is probably the most extreme darkness at this point in the scripture since I've been reading Genesis 12. And it starts at verse 12 in Genesis 15. It says, "As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him." Oh, let me highlight that word, dreadful. We can get scared in the darkness. It doesn't mean we don't believe God. God has groomed us already to believe his promise. And then this big, thick darkness comes, and then we get a little fearful. We get scared. And scariness can, you know, maybe cause us sometimes, if we're not careful, to forfeit what God has promised us. But here he says this dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there." Now that doesn't sound good. That sounds like something very negative, but God is being informational here. He's giving him the truth. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. So it's something he's telling him. It's not very, doesn't sound very favorable. He says, "But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions." You know, sometimes God gives you those assurances, but it takes a long time for him to deliver, us, we'll say us, out of these dreadful, dark situations. "In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the son of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." In verse 17, when the sun had set, all this darkness now, and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot. God is the light in the darkness with a blazing torch. God is a light. He will continue to enlighten us and illuminate our path. A blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. He made a sacrifice and went up that there. He did that because he did believe God. He believed in God and obeyed God. Here in verse 17, it says, "On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, and the land of the Kenites, Kenazites, Kadamanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites.'" Well, all of those ites, God is going to extend his hand and extend a covenant with Abram. Now, sometimes God will dilute our fear by making a strong promise, a covenant. Okay, practicing attorney, when something is a covenant, it is an absolute, unbreakable promise that God is giving Abram here because he has fear. He's seen the circumstances where he is going to see where his descendants will be not in their own country, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. I mean, that's concerning for anybody, really. If God told me that my descendants, or maybe just my family, or my family members, my cousins maybe, were going to go somewhere and be slaves and be mistreated, it will incite fear. And in fact, if it incited fear, then it showed that Abram did believe what God was saying. He had no doubt, but he had fear. Oh, my goodness. You mean to tell me these descendants are going to be enslaved after I have born them through Sarah, my wife? You have clarified that my son is going to be born through my wife and not through my servant. And this is not the first time now. This is the first time where the promise is going to be fulfilled in one person. But God reassures him, and then even a stronger reassurance in time of fear and without hesitating, the good, the bad, and ugly, is he makes this covenant with Abram in the time of fear, in the time of dread. Sometimes things are worse when we just are looking at them than when we're going through them. And then we look back and say, oh my goodness, how did I get through that? That's a dreadful circumstance. How did I get through that? Well, let me read my text before I leave the podcast. Romans 3 verse is an expected thing. Expectancy is required for God to fulfill his promise. Reassurance is the way that God protects our beliefs. Expectancy is realized. When we are in the dark place, God receives the promise. I think that's the double. We test our beliefs all the time. Fear will come to defeat our beliefs, but God will do a work to defeat our fear. And that work he did here, Abram, in Genesis. He, for the first time, made a covenant with Abram. And let me tell you, a covenant that is unbreakable, that is a strong promise, and is something that will fall. Our fear. I was scared of what God did. And God did it. So in that cycle of patience, I'm still talking about the cycle of patience. Here we can see where Abram's belief is still says that God is still building it up. But then there's this fear. So God had talked more about what was going to happen after he wore the descendants. And it caused dread, it caused fear. And it was in a very, very difficult time. And then we see God increasing himself. Increasing himself with a covenant to Abram. Now, I don't know if it's in much like patience, but when we endure God, we'll bring it to pass. And we won't have fear about how we won't have fear about who it's going to be done through. Mm-hmm. So that's why it says that patience will have it work perfect work when you want nothing. That means nothing will happen. You may go to the market. Hey, email me at thinkclearbusiness.com. I may have a prophetic group. God may have a prayer for you.
Somebody, and you don't know what they've been going through. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus, woo, I'm about to have church right by myself. Is that all right? I want you to lift your voice and talk to the person next to you and guarantee them that